Carl Show right here at, well, you know what, Chuck? You got a better voice. You do it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. There are police photos out of cars flipped onto their sides on bridges in San Francisco because of just how windy it is. Thousands are without electricity, and one high-rise downtown had windows falling out down to the ground. San Francisco Fire Captain Jonathan Baxter.
Currently, we have confirmed that we have glass that has separated from its frame on the 43rd floor of a 52-story high-rise and is falling to the ground below.
Snow and ice is the problem in the Northeast, and it'll keep going through tomorrow. WGME-TV's Owen Kingsley is in Kennebunk in Maine.
We did happen to see on the interstate a couple of cars slide off the interstate. Drivers are okay, but we did speak with state police. They told us to slow down because those drivers had happened to hit some slush, and that just absolutely made them lose control right off the side of the road.
President Biden signs an order aimed at getting the country closer to universal background checks for gun sales.
The president traveled to Monterey Park, where 11 people were killed and 9 others were hurt in January.
We remember and mourn today, but I'm here with you today to act.
Mr. Biden announced he'd signed an executive order implementing changes passed by Congress last year. The move could result in some small-time traders who turn a profit being required to perform background checks, even if they don't sell firearms for a living. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
The FAA is holding an airline safety summit that was prompted by a string of close calls at U.S. airports. You've heard about several of them so far this year, and we're just learning about one from last week. CBS's Nora O'Donnell.
At Washington's Reagan National Airport last week, an American Eagle jet taxied across a runway where United Airlines plane had just been cleared for takeoff. Here's how it played out over air traffic control radio.
Reporting takeoff, United 2003.
Investigators say it appears that the pilot of the American Eagle jet made a wrong turn.
Legislators in multiple states are pushing bills that would weaken longstanding child labor laws. Arkansas's governor has just signed a similar bill. CBS's Allison Keyes.
Iowa lawmakers are considering legislation that would allow people as young as 14 to work in freezers and industrial meatpacking plants and prevent many from getting workers' compensation if they are injured. And one Republican state senator in Ohio says allowing longer hours for teen workers would help understaffed businesses.
She has this catchphrase.
That's hot.
Yeah, it is, Paris. Now Paris Hilton is out with a memoir. In it, she calls having ADHD her superpower. She also discusses having an abortion in her 20s. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 19. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 46. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 37. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Parents, we know we can't protect our kids from everything.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 15th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here at 10:04 on the clock. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in from the Arts Council, Sally Kistner, Executive Director over there. From the Performing Arts Center, Eric Britnacher, their director. And Chris Cruzy going to join us. Looking forward to that at 10:30. Right now in studio, we have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
Along with our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, we say good morning to Taylor and the gang over there. We appreciate you guys being here. Hero, it's good to see you. How you been, sir?
I've been pretty good. And yourself?
Not bad, not bad. We were just talking in our pregame here a little bit. It's a little crazy around here, but that's good. That's a positive. It means things are moving and good.
Yeah, a lot of activity.
Yeah. And I think you can relate to the busy and the crazy, because it's been pretty busy on your end of things. It usually is as a mayor, but certainly you've had a lot going on in the area recently. Recent news, I would say that as far as headlines go, one of the bigger headlines, the Shopko development and that project going on over there. So we're going to start right there.
All right.
What can we talk about? What can we say about the development right now?
Well, I think they've listed what the four retail spaces are going to be. And ironically, before they announced, Harbor Freight was looking to hire for employees in the Rapids location. So that kind of got out a little bit early, but that's good. Because obviously everybody's competitive for the workforce.
Yeah.
And on our plan commission, there was approval and discussion, because they have three outlots that are along the expressway.
Yeah.
And one in the outlots is going to be another car wash. And so that's one going in there. And there's another outlot that's been purchased or in the process of a business going in there also, which is still not been announced.
Mm-hmm. So the partnership that has gone on here, all these things that has happened, what can you share about the behind the scenes of this?
So yeah, there's been a lot of discussions internally with her, Kyle Kearns, our economic development director also, but mostly it's been the developer, Tom Richards. So he purchased the property, and once he realized what he had here in Wisconsin Rapids, I think he realized there was a gem here. I spoke to Tom, and he's always impressed with how friendly people are in Rapids. That's one thing he noted. And so then once the developer has the property, then they take it upon themselves to fill that property in which, you know, their business plan, you know, obviously they're looking to make money and have the best opportunity to do that. So he worked with what he felt would be good businesses in our community, some things that our community needed, and so that's what he put together. And it's a matter of fact of sending out information to companies and finding out who's interested in putting together that group of businesses that want to come here. And he's made a very considerable investment into that property. So
when it comes to that time that you spend with other businesses and trying to get them to have an interest to develop here, to have you know, their business here in our town, how many times do you have to do that? And how do you balance the time that you spend on that? Because you're spending time on this, and if it doesn't work out, that's time you could have spent on this and that kind of. And it's hindsight kind of questions that you end up asking yourself. But I know I do that with, like, just in my personal life. I can't imagine when your schedule is so cluttered as yours.
Yeah, so, you know, everyone thinks that the mayor or city council calls up company XYZ and say, hey, come to Rapids, we have openings. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know, I wish it was that easy. I wish we had this a la carte system of choosing which businesses. But, you know, the businesses are looking for locations that are most profitable to their business. And if you notice, like, if you go to some businesses, they're asking your zip code. Mm-hmm. Well, they're taking that information in. And, you know, if I ever go to Fleet Farm in Point, they always ask. And so they know that we're already going there. So are they going to, you know, buy property, hire employees, build a building when we're already going there? So they're looking to maximize their distance of coverage, I guess. And so it really comes down to the developer. They're the ones doing the legwork because they own the building. Mm-hmm. And it's up to them of what they bring in. We don't, you know, people are saying, oh, we don't need any more of this, any more of that. But we don't have a choice in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so people might complain we have too many coffee shops or certain type of restaurants. And we have no control. Otherwise, we'd be violating state law if we've turned down somebody. Now, I believe in capitalism and free market, mm-hmm. so every business will rise and fall based on that business plan, and, you know, and so they have to put forth a good product for the community to decide who's going to rise and fall. And so I don't spend a lot of time calling these businesses, because that's not what you do.
Right, right.
You know, people think, well, that's what we do, but that's really not what you do. It's a developer that, you know, That's their business.
That was the answer I was hoping for.
It's kind of a long roundabout way.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect because that's what I wanted the audience to understand, that this isn't something that a mayor does, that a city council does. Because in talking to listeners over the last couple of years, and even with the previous mayor, this was something that would come up. It would come up sometimes, and it has come up for us before when we talk about 8th Street and that development. And it's a very similar story of, well, that's a state thing. That's, that's, you know, there's city stuff that we are in charge of, and then there's state stuff that they are in charge of. And understanding the difference of these things, I think, is really vital going forward in politics. You know, we have people that still don't understand the three different branches of government. I mean, and they're voting. You know, these are things that I think are important to get over. And it's, I appreciate the breakdown by you.
But I think the city's responsibility is to, you know, when a developer comes to the city, it's not about how many roadblocks and hurdles we can put in their way to make them jump through. Okay, congratulations, you completed the obstacle course, now you can build your business here. You know, I think it's our responsibility to have a framework of, you know, making sure minimum requirements are being met, make sure, you know, it's aesthetically pleasing, but it's not, to me, it shouldn't be about, well, at least for me, and it's not about putting as many obstacles in front, because it shouldn't be an obstacle course, and sometimes it becomes that. And, you know, these developers want to come in, spend money, obviously make money, and the community wants these spaces filled. And so it's really about, I think, trying to make the path at least resistant as possible within some boundaries.
I like that. I like the way you worded that and the way you said that. I completely agree, and I think it makes a lot of sense. However, can I tell me this doesn't sound like not a bad idea? We get all these CEOs that want to have a business in town, and they got to do an Ironman competition.
Exactly.
I like the idea of seeing a bunch of CEOs and stuff having to do in their suits. In their suits, I want to see.
Yeah, sometimes it feels that way, and you know, I don't know. Zoning can get complicated, and it shouldn't be. And, you know, it shouldn't be this cumbersome process to open a business. You know, I think you need to have some semblance of the zoning. You know, I don't want a factory in my backyard neighborhood type thing. You know, so I think it's really about placing these places in the right places, and that they can hopefully feed off each other. But making it so complicated that they have to do so many steps, I don't know. To me, it gets a little ridiculous.
Is there a part of it that's the most frustrating to you? Because I can hear it. It seems like a frustrating thing, and you know this better than we do.
So to me, the most frustrating part is for our local businesses, the local shop and the local whatever, that a homegrown business that's, you know, starting out, maybe it's a 2-person, 3-person operation, and they want to expand. And you know, for them to try to fight through this, when a developer comes in, they pretty much hand it on a silver platter because they have a whole team of people that do this. But for our local people, they don't have that. And, you know, I've tasked our community development department to put together a process, whether it be a checklist or, you know, something to help our local people go through the process with realistic timelines and realistic expectations to make it, I don't want to say easier, but just lay it out for them so they're not confused by it. Because I think that's a big burden in our community.
Well said. Big Lots, Marshalls, Harbor Freight, and Five Below will be the stores that will be filling the Shopko building. Tom Richards, the gentleman you mentioned before and everything, Tom feels very confident about these businesses. I think those are, just personally, and knowing what I do a little bit about business, those are all companies and businesses that have been doing well stock-wise, that have been able to survive not only the pandemic, but the retail issues that a lot of people shopping online, all those things. So it seems like a very good fit. It also feels like a good fit for this area. So it really does seem like they did their research and not just going to throw anything in that building just to fill the building. Like these are businesses that are going to attribute to, add to the community.
And I believe there's also, they're all going to have long-term leases. So it's not like they're going to come in here for a year and try it. These are long-term leases, and Tom's making a multi-million-dollar investment into that building, and we're helping them by applying for a grant through the state to help offset the cost of building a new loading dock on one end of the building, on the backside. So, you know, there's that partnership there. But he's making a considerable investment in our community. It frustrates me when people complain about it because it's like, well, okay, we could just leave the building vacant and let it become in disrepair. Because people have been complaining at times, and it's just like, you know, and obviously Facebook's Facebook. But, you know, if I was a developer, I wouldn't be impressed reading those things. You know, right. If I'm coming and spending multi-millions of dollars, you know, obviously they have a business end on the back end, but you know, these are things that our community has asked for in a roundabout way.
You get an idea right away of the kind of people that are looking at, okay, what is going to be the best, not just for me, but for my community and for the future of my community, and people that just care about themselves and today. Yep. They show you that real quickly in that.
And there are also businesses and property that will be on our tax roll that will increase our tax base, which is good for everyone here.
Yeah. This all adds to a stronger community. And this is what towns like ours, cities like ours, are all looking to do right now. You can believe that our surrounding cities are trying to do this and bring these kind of businesses
Everybody
in.
Is.
Yeah.
We're all competing for the same little piece of the pie that's left because businesses aren't just popping up everywhere, you know, and industry, the same thing. And so if you can get the next, you know, I always say the next Metelco, you know, because they were the last one. And it's really a matter of, you know, we get calls and people are asking, you know, demographic information. You know, a big thing is median income. You know, these retailers, they all have a set level or a set, you know, set of metrics that they use to come to a community. And a lot of it's median income. And if our income in our community isn't large enough, they literally are going to pass by us because they know what they need for their market. So they're looking at that and populations. And, you know, and so those are all factors these retail put into place. And workforce, you know, that's the other thing. And, you know, and can they hire employees? And are there going to be employees to fill their jobs when they build? And so there's a lot of factors that go into it.
I remember years back, and this was when I think I was in school at the time, so I don't remember all the details. I don't think I was privy to a lot of the details at the time. Many of us weren't, but there was a meatpacking company that was going to move in the town here, and they were pushed back on because of the smell, and that was the big...
And renderings falling on the road. I remember
right, that
of
kind
things,
of stuff
yeah.
and everything. And I remember my nan and papa talking about it at the time, and they loved this area. You know, they moved to this area, their transplants and everything. But they really, really believed in this area and supporting it. And my papa, I don't know how many times I saw him that frustrated because he's like, yeah, that smells bothersome and everything. When we first moved into Coosa, the mill was bothersome. Nobody's looking to get rid of that thing.
Like, I always say the smell of money.
Exactly, exactly. It's kind of one of those things of like, I talk about this in relationships too. I don't think people should settle, but it's a matter of understanding the older you get. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect scenario. Right. You find out what you can tolerate, what you can deal with and handle, and move on from there. Not to say that the meatpacking plant should have been brought in.
I remember their picketing City Hall.
Yes. It was huge. It was all about, like, I understand the smell part of it, but, you know, money to me smells better than that. Jobs smell better to me.
I think they were concerned at the quality of jobs and injuries and things like that. And those, those
are legitimate concerns.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you get to a point here where you say no, say no, say no. Well, then all of a sudden, you're wondering where the businesses are. Well, you said no to everything.
Yeah, and it's really kind of, you know, as I explained to people, really the only way we can kind of turn down a business is if they need the property rezoned for that type of business. Hmm. So the council can decide not to rezone that property, and so hence that business can't go on that property. And that's really the only checks and balance to the system that the city has.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I wanted to touch on the city's railroad crossing, the survey that you have for that right now.
Yeah, so it's all on the website, and it's a good read. There's a lot of information in there. They did a lot of studies and a lot of, at the railroad crossings, count cars and time blocked. And so based on that, they put together kind of a... they were asked also to put together kind of maybe a set of solutions. And I personally think for the best solution for the community would be to create this underpass. And but that's $30 million. And we don't even have the ability to borrow $30 million as a city. Mm. So it's not an option that the city could just decide that we're going to do. But I think there's some things that we can look at, quiet zones and predictive mobility, you know, kind of, you know, whether it be through signage, and there's technology available to kind of say, hey, you may want to take this route because this route's going to be blocked. And I think the an underpass solution has to come with a combination of maybe a partnership with the state and the federal government and looking at a project. So next year, that's my plan, is to work with city staff and the state to put together a project that we can submit to our federal legislators for, they always ask for them in the spring. And so I think that'd be the time, because it deals with the railroad, and that's a federal issue, and I think has a good tie to the federal.
I was thinking of things that, you know, things that Wisconsinites get. I always thought that you knew it was a good, mom and dad had a good week or a good paycheck if you saw the Schwann's guy. Like, you knew, if you see the Schwann's guy, you know, okay, mom and dad did all right this week or something like that. I feel that way right now about the about our budgets and stuff. We've got a lot of money in infrastructure right now. Mm-hmm. Now is a good time to hit them up about this stuff. Let's go ahead and hit them up now with this while they got the money. That was a good time.
Exactly. And I think we need a solution to that. There has to be, and it's not going to get any cheaper the years you wait and the decades you wait. You know, hindsight's 2020. Wish they would have thought of that back then when we actually had probably even more rail traffic. And it's just kind of, I don't know, I think there was other priorities at the time, and I wasn't around. And but yeah, we need a crossing, at least one somewhere.
I don't think you'll find a citizen in this town that would disagree. I think that so the other day I was driving through town and I saw the cranes out, and it was snowing like crazy that day. I think it was Monday or whatever. And so they weren't working or nothing like that. But to me, there's something awesome about that. You know, what you said about the smelling the mill is money, I feel very similar to seeing big construction pieces. Like, okay, some money's going on over there. Some work's going on over there. I think of this, and I thought of the railroad system. Because we did a very similar thing with the jail. We kicked the can. 30 years later, we're finally getting this done. And that's great. That's awesome. But we're going to be in a similar situation with these railroads if we don't do something about it at some point soon. And that doesn't mean it's going to be today or even next year. But the plan that you're putting together, I think that's going to save us from being in a very similar situation. I think that's a really smart plan.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you about cranes, because anytime you see a crane in a community, there's something going on. And for a while there, I was saying, boy, we haven't had a crane in our community, you know.
Yeah.
And so cranes are always a good thing.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, it's a sign of something major going on, not a smaller scale construction. So cranes are good. And
The wrapping up the railroad conversation, with the plan that you're talking about putting forward and everything, that's something that are you looking just at that survey? You're looking for more feedback from the community on this, or we feel like we've got enough data? I feel like we've got enough data, probably,
because they did a pre-survey, which is part of the rail study. You know, the things that the community thought was concerning. And so, you know, our problem, or, you know, at least my personal problem is, and people do understand that the railroad's their own big operation. And unfortunately, you know, there's no benefit to the railroad not that I can really think of, that, you know, if we did anything like this. So their participation, I don't expect, is going to be very big.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we can find a way that it will benefit them in some way, too, that can help.
You know, whatever we can do to build this bridge, and exactly. Metaphorical and literal bridge.
But that's unfortunately not a quick solution. That's, you know, money out there that has to be budgeted and discussions. But, you know, some of the other things are, you know, they might have $1 million price tag, but can that make life better in Rapids and maybe ease some of the pressure at some of the crossings? I think it's worthwhile looking at it. And I think it should be, you know, reading Mr. Austin's Daily Tribune article on his candidacy, I was, you know, he was talking about, and we've talked about this together, is, you know, it might have to come up to a referendum. And I fully support that, because, you know, this is one of those issues that, as you brought up, it affects every person here in the city, and it has for forever. And so I think the city having a say and being part of those discussions and the cost to pay for them, that input is needed.
Understanding that, you know, it's a balance that all of us as voters have to think of, and it comes up all the time. It's also one of those things to me that the idea of hanging on to this dollar so that I can have it, in 20 years. Right. Like, does that wouldn't make any sense in your own personal real life. Like, the idea of this, I'm not looking to just go ahead and spend money, like treat it like Brewster's Millions and just right. try to get rid of this by midnight or something like right. that. But the idea of, well, we can't spend a penny. Like, that's ridiculous. That's insane. Like, there has to be a balance in between.
Status quo can't be acceptable.
No. And the idea that we can use that same blueprint that we've been using before the pandemic. We have to, and I know people hate hearing the word pandemic and hear COVID and all that stuff, but we have to adjust to the times. We have to adjust the way things are now. It's the same thing. If I start up a business and you can do the job that I'm offering from home and I don't offer that, well, that would be ridiculous. Nowadays, people need that option. People want that option. You have to adapt to the times.
You do. And that with our own employees, that's what we're trying to be more adaptive, because we're all trying to get the best employees, and we're all trying to get employees. So, we have to be competitive in many different ways.
There's a bike survey as well on the city's website right now, and I want to encourage people to bookmark the page at wirapids.org. Wirapids.org is where you can find this and a lot of the information the mayor and I are talking about today. Want people's feedback on this bike survey.
Yeah, it's kind of unique to be talking about a bike survey this time of the year, but this is unfortunately the time of the year that we have to do it. And so, the feedback would be very important. And, we design roads, and we kind of lay out our community here to being very bike friendly, and so and we do have a lot of avid bikers and people that enjoy biking, so we would appreciate any feedback that we can get on that.
What kind of feedback are we looking for about the bikes, bike trails, the bike safety,
everything?
Encourage people to check that out. Again, you can go to wirapids.org to do that. I love our paths and these different things that we have over here. If you are a biker, you like biking, it's a good opportunity to have your voice be heard right there.
I have seen bikes out already, so
so
it's like it's not the majority of bikes, but there are bikes out there, and there are bikers all winter long.
Another sign that you are a Wisconsinite if it gets 30 degrees and you're pulling your shorts out, like it's definitely, we're gonna see it happens.
Yep, same motorcycles.
Oh yeah. Any chance we get on the roads? Okay, the roads are all right. Let's go. The bike out. The 2023 budget summary is also available on the city's website, wirapids.org. What are some of the highlights from that? What are some of the things that we want to make sure people hear about the budget?
I've always kind of not been a big glitzy kind of guy. So it's infrastructure. It's a lot of infrastructure in there. There's not any big grand kind of projects or anything like that. And so I think for me, the big project this year is the dog park. And like I said previously, that every dollar that's going to this dog park is coming from room tax dollars. So it's the visitors that are visiting our community are building us a dog park.
And I appreciate you breaking it down like that. It may not seem like that important, but I think for the person that, because you're always looking at the pushback and the person that's going to push back on
these
things.
And there always is.
Always.
You just
got to
accept it.
you could be offering the cure to cancer, and there's somebody
going to be... They can push, but it doesn't mean they're right.
Exactly.
It's on the perspective.
So I appreciate you putting it like that and wording it that way, because that not only is accurate, but that's, I think, important for people to know. Like, I don't want to pay for that. Well, you're not. Paying for it.
You get to enjoy and use it if you want.
Is there any news about the dog park? Do we know? Not that we have a set date yet, but do we know that it's going to look like maybe spring, summer?
So they just approved the fence bids to the lowest qualified bidder, and cool. I think it was about $49,000 is the cost for the fencing there, which was actually less than what we were expecting. So
nice.
That's always good. So we do have a fence contractor. American Fence Company was awarded the bid. So as soon as probably when they can get in and get going, but I think the longest frustrating part will be we want to make sure the open area is seated, and so we don't have a big mud pit. So it's really about, I think that's where maybe some of the frustration is going to come in late spring, early summer. Is like, hey, we want to use the dog park, but oh, we're letting the grass grow, making sure that's established. I think that will be our biggest frustration.
It's going to take the patience game, but it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, we want to make sure when we open it, it's good to go. And, you know, we just don't have this big mud pit, and which it would be.
Where is the dog park going to be located again?
So it's between Oak and Saratoga, kind of the 2500 block, 25th, out towards the Family Center. On the Saratoga side is where the parking lot is and the gate entrance is.
Yeah.
And Taylor will have a really good, he's been putting together, and you can see them out there, is some drone footage, and he's been putting together an excellent footage and video footage and voice overlays on the park. And as that continues, he'll add to it. And hopefully when it's all done, we'll have a thought idea with a woods to a whole dog park. And so it's really cool. Good job, Taylor.
Yeah, great job. Yep. And we've been doing this so long that I set you up, you set me up. That's exactly how I wanted to wrap up, was talking about the footage that Taylor did. That's awesome. That was great.
Your eyes light up. You're like, oh, okay.
That's great.
Read your mind now.
Do want to encourage you to go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rabbits Community Media, like their page. Not only will you see some great drone footage of that, but they usually have Pet of the Weeks on there as well. And a Cowboy Union Jam video I enjoyed as well, by the way. That was pretty cool to see. But a great footage and great covers that they do over there. And always a great conversation with you, sir. Thanks so much for the time. I'm looking forward to talking again next month.
Yeah, I look forward to it, too. Just want to remind everybody, the 21st through the 31st is in-person absentee balloting at the clerk's office. So come out and cast your vote.
Yeah, get out there and vote, everybody. Thank you for the time, Shane. Thanks, James. Talk to you.
Always enjoy it.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Don't search through the phone book for hours looking for help. Don't waste time being transferred from department to department looking for answers. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, simply dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Free and confidential information and referral is available throughout Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 and get connected and get answers.
As to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 19. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 46. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 37. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine. for this March 15th, 2023, 10:33 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And I am joined right now by our friends from the Arts Council. First, we have Sally Kistner, Executive Director at the Arts Council. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning.
Always good to see you. Thanks for being here. And we have Eric Britnocker, Performing Arts Center Director. Good to see you, Eric.
Good morning.
Thanks for being in here today. And joining us on the phone, our friend Chris Cruzy. Good morning, Chris.
What's happening?
How you been, man?
Doing good. Can't complain. Surviving winter, you know, it doesn't seem to want to end, but we're getting through it.
I was joking with some of our staff around here, Chris. This is, I don't know, second, third time you've joined us at WFHR. We might have to put you on the payroll pretty soon. We might have to start putting you to work around here. But
yeah.
How are you at jingles? How are you?
Hey, I can pump jingles out like crazy.
I imagine there's not much you can't do, brother. You've been taking things by storm lately. I feel like when we first heard about you to this point now, it seems like it's just in a blink of an eye. What has this been like, this ride that you've been on?
Oh, crazy. You know, there's parts of it that feel like a blur, and then parts of it that feel like, I don't know, it's stuff that kind of feels like yesterday and 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah. It, everything everywhere all at once. That's what it feels like. It feels like it's all going on.
Exactly.
Chris, to us around here, and especially us in Rapids, you're a native. We understand. We know you. We feel like we know your background, all that. But I know that there's people out there listening that may not know your origin story and some of the things that you've been up to. Let's go ahead and start from the beginning. Let's talk about when you first learned to play and how young you were when you started playing.
Yeah, now we're going back.
Yeah,
so I was like the ADD kid in kindergarten that was, you know, always, I put in air quotes, distracting others, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, all my teachers wanted to put me on, like, ADD meds and all that, and my dad was like, no, we're just going to find something for him to do. So for my sixth birthday, well, I'll go back prior to that. So I was, like, the crazy ADD kid, whatever. But my dad always had a guitar, like leaning in the corner of the basement, and I was always intrigued with it. And so for my sixth birthday, they bought me a guitar from actually from Sears, I believe. And
that's
my dad,
awesome,
like, put little stickers on the fretboard to show me where my fingers should go, and I just kind of learned a few chords from him, and then, you know, just kind of obsessed with it. You know, they've got pictures of me, like, sleeping with my guitar in my bed. You know, I would fall asleep nice. Playing it. You know, it was just kind of, it took over everything for me. And, I started playing, like, in talent shows and stuff when I was, like, second or third grade. And then the first time I ever sang was in middle school at a talent show. And, well, it was the first time I ever sang in front of anyone. I was terrified of it. And, it just kind of, everything just started getting more and more involved with music. And, you know, by the time I was, 14, 15, I was playing in the bars regularly. And, I started playing in the bars when I was 13, but that was just a couple of times. And, by age 14 and then 15, I was playing just about every weekend and somewhere in a bar in Wisconsin. Just kind of pushed it to that level.
Yeah. How much did, going back to those early days, falling asleep in your bed with your guitar and your parents being supportive, you being able to perform in bars and, of course, needing an adult supervision of those kind of things, so you have a support system right there built from a young age. How much do you think that benefited, that helped you get to the point where you are now?
Oh, I mean, it's without it, it doesn't exist. So, I mean, it's hard to put a number on that, but if they would have just said, no, we're not going to do that, then, I mean, it wouldn't have happened. You know, there was no other way other than for them to support it. And if they wouldn't have, then I would have done something else, I guess. But, I'm very thankful that they were willing to drive around with me all hours of the night, getting home at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, all that stuff. But, so like, that's like age 15, I kind of got in with a lot of like the tiki bars and stuff, like Inchitek, like Gilligan's Inchitek, and, you know, there's a bunch of them things around, and, by the time I graduated high school, I got to the point where I was probably playing, you know, 100 shows a year, by the time I was in high school.
That's impressive.
By the time I got out of high school, I should say.
Yeah.
And then, like, when I got out of college is when I really started kicking it up, and I was doing about 275 nights a year.
So mothers and fathers, parents out there, support your kids. You don't know where they could end up. You don't know what they could accomplish.
I just want to say, this past weekend, I was asked to cover a job here at a bar in Rapids, and I asked one of my student technicians if he'd be interested in coming to help out. And his parents, you know, willing to allow him to come out with me until kind of the wee hours of the morning to run sound and lights is really important to him, because I've seen his development in working with me over the past few years and where it's taking him.
Yeah.
And it's lit this spark to say, oh, there is opportunity for me and what my interests are. I don't have to follow this path that maybe my parents did or where I think I'm told to go. And had his parents not allowed him to come out with me until 2 o'clock in the morning and not get home till 3 because it was snowing, he would be otherwise sitting at home doing what?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was able to gain good experience running lights, mixing sound, and really just having a great time together. And I don't know, it was just, it's weird that this parallel is happening because of your background and kind of, you know, putting my arm over some younger individuals because they're our future, and seeing that through that whole process, it's just very fascinating.
It's
and
very
I'm
cool.
glad that this whole story came out.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing that, Eric. That is pretty cool.
Cool.
I want to go from that actually to something I was going to tie Eric into, because for those that don't know, you studied audio production and engineering at UM at Minnesota. How much did that help you understand the not so much the industry, but your voice, performing, playing music, producing music? How much did that benefit you right to where you are now?
I think it helps quite a bit. It's hard to put a dollar amount on it, you know, because anything with technology, it changes so quick. So, I mean, a lot of the things that we were doing when I was in school are kind of obsolete now because technology changes, and it's just, but I mean, just the general understanding of all that helps me a lot. I mean, I do a lot of recording at home and stuff, and, you know, it's nice to be able to have the knowledge just to be able to do a lot of that, where a lot of people don't have a clue how to run any of that stuff, so it's nice. It comes in handy quite a bit.
Yeah, brother, when I first started in radio, we were using reel-to-reel. Like, I hear you, man. The technology changes overnight. Yeah. It really does. But I'm curious, like, how... Because Eric and I, we talk about the technical side of music and the technical side of these things sometimes and everything. And one of the things that I find really cool is the students that are getting to work with you, Eric, and everything, the knowledge that they get, whether they go into a music career or a theater career or whatever, what have you, that knowledge is... doesn't go anywhere. They still can apply it to other fields, other jobs. When it comes to the music industry, it seems like to me, just as a layman looking at it, some of the most successful and most entertaining musicians have a similar background, Chris. They have some kind of engineering background. They understand music on a technical level, not just on a sound level, on a hearing level. That seems to add to an artist. I'm not saying that it's vital that you need it to become a good artist or to be an artist at all, but it does seem to really benefit and help your career. It seems like it's done that for you, having that background.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Chris, I think it's the curiosity, you know, about music and the technology and how the ear brain system works, and you know, putting together all of these puzzle pieces, and you know, I think it's all intertwined in some way, and you can't be a musician without dabbling in recording and the technical side of things. I think it's almost impossible. You know, you always want to know, like, oh, how's my tone, and, you know, how's my articulation, and how's that being recorded and captured? And, you know, it's all just this big continuum, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
It really is.
Chris, one last thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I just seeing interviews with you and talking with you before, I have a personal idea of what it means to you personally, but you've developed a large military fan base, and you've been able to perform for our military. What does that mean to you? Why is that so important to you?
You know, it's just a small thing that we can do to show support and try to bring some kind of fun, you know, to those places that they're deployed at. And, like, you know, they're not fun places to be. You know, I've been over to the Middle East and Africa just about a dozen times, and not once have I stepped off the plane and been like, ooh, this is nice.
Right.
You know, it's tough for, you know, a lot of these guys. You get to talk to them and stuff, and they're like, yeah, my wife had a baby while I was deployed. And so they have a 9-month-old kid when they come home that they've never met, you know?
Yeah.
So just to take their mind off of all that negative stuff for even if we, you know, if we play for an hour and a half, you know, they're, but they're not in the crappy areas of the Middle East for an hour and a half. They're at a concert, you know?
As creatives,
it's a lot of fun, and it's probably the most rewarding stuff I've ever done.
That's really cool to hear. That's awesome. I think as creatives, we look for ways to give back, to do good, and we don't. Most of us can't, you know, diagnose a disease or help do surgery on somebody or some life changing things or something like that. But we got this skill set, and we can entertain people. And you know, if that's the one thing we can do, that's what we're gonna do. And I admire that. And I'm not the only one. Chris is a recipient of the Red Cross Community Hero Award for regularly entertaining military troops. Want to congratulate you on that. Very well deserved.
Thank you.
We are going to play a little of your music for the audience here in a moment. But I want to remind everybody, Chris is going to be in town March 24th, 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center. Get your tickets.
Come on out.
Give him a good crowd. We got to give him a real good show, a really good audience. I want to make sure this place is jam-packed. SaveOfTheArts.org.
I know they're moving. So, I mean, if you're going to get them, go ahead and get them. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, it's really the first couple of... It's actually the first full band dates we have for the year, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going into rehearsals this next week and putting together some new stuff and a brand new show. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited.
Right on. Are we going to have some new music at the concert?
Yes, we are. Nice. Some stuff that hasn't been recorded yet that I'm going to record this year. So yeah,
We love that. Like that stuff, man. That's cool. That's really good to hear. We're going to play a little of your music now, Chris, but we don't want to keep you. I know how busy you are. Thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it, man. Next time you're in town after this time, you're going to have to stop by, all right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to.
Sounds good. You take care. We'll talk again real soon.
Hopefully you guys will come out to the show.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you out there. We'll see you.
Yeah. Awesome. Good deal.
Have a great day, Chris.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Yeah. Talk soon. Chris Cruzy joining us there. Chris, of course, going to be performing March 24th right here in Wisconsin Rapids at the Performing Arts Center. Wanted to play a little of Chris's music for you here real quick before we go to break. And we'll take that quick commercial break. We'll come back and we'll talk with Eric and Sally. But for right now, let's go ahead and see if my computer is going to work with me and play a little of Mr. Cruzy here. Man, is that a good line. Gosh, that's a good line. He's a darn good writer. He's a great artist, great voice. We appreciate Chris joining us there. We're going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk with Eric and Sally. We'll talk a little more details about the concert and maybe a chance for you to win some tickets to the concert. Be listening for that and plenty more coming up right here on Morning Magazine, where we are locally grown radio.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies, overnight, with lows around 19. South winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Daytime highs approaching 46. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 37. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow, Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 26.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to the Morning Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We have Sally and Eric with us right now, talking with them about the Chris Cruzy concert coming up. Wanted to get into this. First off, thanks for being here, you guys. Thanks for setting up the interview, Sally. That was a lot of fun talking with Chris.
You bet.
Let's talk about the details of the concert coming up March 24th, 7:30 over at the Performing Arts Center.
Tickets are $35 for adults or $10 for students, and you can purchase them online 24/7 at savorthearts.org, or you can give us a call during our work hours, which are Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., 715-424-2787, or stop by 1040 8th Street South in Wisconsin Rapids.
Sally, I know you work really hard bringing these acts to town and reaching out to management, to talking to people, back emails back and forth, a lot of that kind of thing. It feels like with an act like Chris, it seems like very, like, you just asked him and he said yes. Like, it just seems like he's one of those guys. And I certainly don't know his management team or anything, but bringing him to town here seemed like a win, like just a easily thing, like, we got to do this.
That was pretty much exactly what happened. Chris performed here back in February of 2020, right before COVID hit, and he loves our beautiful Performing Arts Center. The acoustics are amazing, especially with his full band like that. It's just great. So as soon as I asked, they were all in, just had to verify a date.
Chris is a little too humble to like put him on the spot and ask him to like talk about himself or his music or anything like that. If you notice, I tried to find roundabout ways to get him to talk, compliment himself or talk about himself a little bit. I admire that about him, but we're going to talk about him a little bit. For those that don't know his music, he was runner-up in NBC's The Voice. He a couple of seasons ago. His style is, I think, unlabeled. You cannot label his style, I don't think. I think that if you look at him and you hear one song from him, you might think you can tag him as something, but you can't, because the very next song he's going to show you something else. Before we wrap up, we might even have an example of that for you. I have lined up. So when it comes to his style of music, I think we say this sometimes, and maybe we say it because we hope it's the case. With this one, I feel pretty confident in saying it. Like, there's nobody who can't enjoy Chris's music. Whatever style of music you got, whatever vinyl you listen to, you're going to enjoy Chris Cruzy.
I have three of his CDs. I purchased two of them at the show back in 2020 and have purchased another one online since then. And I've been playing them in the office just to get pumped up for the concert and everything. And I always thought it was more like country. I think people tend to think of him as country. Mm-hmm. And yet he has like a whole lot of love on that CD, on one of them, and, you know, just a variety of music.
His cover of Zeppelin is pretty dang good.
I
come from a Zeppelin family. That's like the upper echelon in our family, and that he does a dang good job with it, I thought.
For sure.
He's a versatile guy, too, as we're touching on here and everything, but he's also a dang good showman. He's a guy that really gets to the, eye to eye with the audience, very on the same level with them, and I think that's part of what's so entertaining about his shows.
He shares good stories, about his life, which is an everyday life like ours. So it's interesting. He captures the audience.
Right. He's a Midwesterner. I mean, he's one of us. Mm-hmm. And not only seeing somebody like that excel to the levels he has and get the opportunities he has is so cool and we're rooting for, but then to have him come back to town here and come back. I know he's not a Rapids native, but I mean, he's performed here so much. He's somebody that we really identify with and can relate to. Having him come perform and then performing at one of our best venues, that's a cool thing.
Right. You know, you can tell he's a Midwesterner because one of the first three sentences he said was, you know.
yes, that's so true. So darn true. Eric, when it comes to this performance and this act, is there anything different that you have to do for something like this? Or is this one of those ones, like you've told us before, kind of a set stage and that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, we set up the drum riser, but this group brings all of their own backline, which is their instruments, amplifiers, guitars, drums, things like that. And they also travel with their front of house engineer and a sound system. So the sound is pretty much self-contained with their group or their production manager and technical director. But you know, we're pretty much in charge of lights and, you know, just making sure the stage is clean and presentable. Just be there to assist, you know, the kids are going to be a part to help load things in and see how things are hooked up and ask questions, you know.
When it comes to that part of it, the kids part of it, and there is an act like this, do you find opportunities to be able to teach things that maybe you've been over before with other acts, but hey, this is another opportunity, that this is the way it goes, you know, this is, we have to hit, cross our T's, dot our I's, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, every show is a little bit different in the approach and the gear that might be coming in. You know, there are some standard things, but we've also tried to be efficient in, like, creating set rep plots that we can replicate and, you know, doing different things based on those rep plots. So creating paperwork that we can reference, you know, and then we can save shows so that we can kind of, you know, we're not recreating the wheel show after show after show. So then it allows us to create different effects and do different creative things. And oftentimes, it, like, at least as far as lighting, I always try to encourage, hey, let's try one different thing on this plot. Like, always just try one different thing, whether it works or not. If it kind of doesn't look very good, you don't have to use it, but at least try it. And as far as audio goes, you know, there's philosophies that I try to teach the kids about. Like, you know, as front of house engineers, we are trying to replicate what the artist is giving us. We're not trying to add a layer of, you know, and we can add reverb and some different effects at front of house, but we're not trying to change the artistic content given to us. We're just trying to amplify it as best as we can across the whole listening space. So, you know, there are opportunities to talk about those sorts of things. Of course, students have classes during the day, so some of the setup, you know, they might not be there for, but any opportunity that they can get or I can get them there to help out, they are, you know, they are excused from class with the expectation that they make up their work if they're helping with a show and stuff. And it's kind of into the culture now that, you know, there's a certain group of students that work at the PAC and teachers know that and they respect that. And it's just the same as any other sport or activity that they're a part of that they're getting excused for. So, you know, there's all the opportunities to teach different things to the kids and we take every opportunity we can to show them how things are done, and we're always exposed to, you know, new equipment and stuff. So
I find it interesting. I spend hours putting up a lesson plan together, getting all these details, how much time I'm going to spend on different things. But it seems like I come out of almost every class like the organic stuff is some of the best knowledge that has been passed on, or the best opportunities for kids to learn are the things that just happen organically, which drives me crazy at the planning that I do on these things and stuff. And I come out of it like that's the best part that came out of it. It's just interesting the when they're there and able to be a part of things, the things that can come up and happen. And it's interesting to hear you talk about that. That's
during the professional shows, I still have a little bit closer watch on things, but during like community shows and stuff where I feel like I don't need to be as involved, I really have learned to have to step away because these are young adults, you know, really, I mean, they are, and they need to be able to make decisions for themselves and to be able to field some of these problems. And if I'm hovering there all the time, just telling them what to do, they never have the opportunity to make the decision for themselves. And so, yeah, it might be difficult sometimes that there are wrinkles in some productions that can't get solved in the immediate, but these are opportunities that they need to see in order to learn, because if the experience does not happen to them and I just swoop in or somebody else just takes care of it, they will never have the confidence to do it themselves.
Right.
And so it's like, you know, we do our best to serve everyone the best that we can, knowing that these are student technicians in training. They don't know it all, but they're doing the, you know, just the best possible job that they can with the knowledge that they have at 15 to 18 years old.
It's nerve-wracking when you got your kid on the bike and you're going to let him go for the first time without training wheels. It's just even thinking about it right now, my kid's like 20-something now. It was 20-some years ago, and it still drives me. But you have to do it. It's part of the job of a parent to let your kid. Part of our job is not to isolate them and keep them in an incubator for life or anything. It's to help them be able to fly, be able to get out of the nest one day and fly. And that's no different than teaching. Teaching is very similar to that. Our job is not to teach these kids so that all we do is have them in class for the rest of their life. It's so that they can eventually graduate, move on, and do the things that we're hoping to empower them to do. I love the insight of that, though, and I appreciate you sharing that. That's really cool. Sally, we have sponsors to thank. We want to make sure to thank them. Let's go ahead and do that.
Yes, absolutely. We have Hartle Monuments, Gray's Service, Riche Funeral Home, Brunson Sons Auto, Wisconsin Rapid City Times, Quick Trip, and NRG Media.
I want to certainly tell everybody where you can hear Chris's music, too. Now, you can hear him on March 24th. I'll tell you that here live and direct. But you can go to chriscruzymusic.com. I encourage you to do that. Not only do that, bookmark the page, but it's a play. He'll send you to his YouTube page as well from there. And as we're getting ready to wrap up the show here, I just wanted to play a little bit of this because Sally and I were talking about how you cannot label this man. We were playing his one of his singles earlier, Tie a Knot on the end of it. Great song, great lyrics. This is him doing The Weeknd's Blinded Lights.
Around to judge me, I can't see clearly when you're gone.
That is just, I mean, that's an artist right there that can take a song that well-known and make it his own like that. That's just some good work. We're so looking forward to Chris Cruzy joining us. We're looking forward to talking to you two again real soon. Sally, I wanted to thank both of